Isaiah chapter 50 tonight is where we're going to be at. And I just want to praise the Lord for a couple things before we get in the message tonight. First off, some of you, I had mentioned that I had a doctor's appointment this past week for my throat. I've just been having some issues with my throat and my voice and stuff, so I got that checked out. And praise the Lord, at least from what the doctor thought, it wasn't anything serious. He thinks I had kind of a bacterial infection that just never got taken care of, so he put me on some stuff for that. Hopefully that'll take care of it. So I just want to praise the Lord that it wasn't anything serious, just been having issues with just losing my voice and just kind of it bothering me a lot. But I would appreciate continued prayer for that, that that would take care of that. But then a bigger praise, so there's been an older teenage boy and an older teenage girl that have been coming for the past couple of services to church, and today I took them out to lunch, and we went to Centerville Cafe there in Centralia, and today there in that restaurant in the booth, they prayed to receive Christ as their Savior right there in the restaurant, and so that was just a great blessing. They've been praying for him for a while and stuff like that. Lord had him in my heart. Got to talk, and I know sometimes people even in a church are kind of scared to pray or receive Christ or do anything like that, but right there in the restaurant, right there in their booth, they were ready. The Spirit was working on their hearts, and they got saved. So I just want to praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful the gospel still works and that people are still looking for the truth, and they are. I know a lot of times it is kind of easy to kind of get the attitude that no one wants to hear it or everybody's deceived or no one cares, but there are people that are looking, and I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord, and it's a blessing, man. Praise the Lord for somebody getting saved, and that was a blessing to me today, so I just wanted to share that. But Isaiah chapter 50, we're just going to read one verse this evening, verse number 4. Isaiah 50 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night, God. I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, and Lord, for the old story of Father, what you've done for us, what Christ did for us. I'm thankful that there's still power in the blood. I'm thankful that Jesus still saves. And God, thank you for salvation in my life, and Lord, the change you made in me, Lord, and the help you've been to me in the years of my life. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that got saved today, and what a blessing that is. And God, you get the glory for that. And we're thankful that the Bible's real, that God's real, that, Lord, that your word is true and firm, and God, that we can trust in it. And so I thank you for that this evening, Lord. Thank you for this chance to be in church this evening, for this opportunity to preach for these people that would be willing to come out on a Sunday night, Lord, and use their time to do this. And God, I pray that wouldn't be in vain tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd be the one that does the work, and that, Lord, you'd be the one that speaks to hearts this evening, not me. I do plead that blood of Christ and ask that you'd forgive me of anything in my heart or life that would stop your power or stop your help. Empty me of sin, self, and pride this evening, and God, fill me with your love. Lord, fill me with your wisdom. Fill me with your words. God, as I've prayed many times, nothing I can say or do can help anybody. But Lord, if you would get me out of the way, if Jesus Christ would be the one high and lifted up, God, he's going to be the one that's going to help people tonight. Lord, if whether it's about the subject of the message tonight, or maybe it's a passing phrase or a passing verse, God, I want you to get the work done. And Lord, if you would just take some time this evening to go through these pews and touch hearts and speak to hearts, God, that's going to mean something tonight. And so, Lord, we pray that this wouldn't be in vain tonight, that this wouldn't be, Lord, no flesh would be glorified or no man would be glorified, but Jesus Christ would be glorified. God, we want to just meet with you tonight. Father, we want this to mean something for the cause of Christ. I want to be an encouragement or a challenge or a help or whatever I need to be to these dear folks gathered tonight, Father. And Lord, just help me tonight. I need you very much. I can't do this by myself, and I don't want to do this by myself. And so, Father, help me preach as a dying man to dying men tonight with just the zeal and fervor and vigor that I need, but also with the wisdom and love and compassion, Father, that you showed, that Jesus Christ showed while he was here on this earth. And so, God, please help us right now. We need you very much. Father, I wrap this prayer in expectation, trusting that not because I deserve or am owed anything, but because of what your word says, that, God, you will do the work. And that, Lord, you will have your will accomplished. And, Father, we just pray all these things in the name of my Lord and Savior, the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we're just going to jump right into this verse tonight. I don't have any fancy introduction or anything like that, but just some things that I see as Isaiah says in Isaiah 50, verse number 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." And first off, of some things that I see in this verse tonight, I see one, that people sometimes get weary. people sometimes get weary, and I feel like Pastor was kind of dancing all around my message this morning, but maybe that was just the Holy Spirit. But people sometimes get weary. If you look up weary in the dictionary, weary means having one's strength exhausted, it means tired, and it means fatigued. And sometimes people get in that spot. I've experienced weariness. You've experienced weariness. Sometimes that's a physical weariness. Sometimes that's an emotional weariness. Sometimes that's a spiritual weariness. But we get in that spot where we just feel like we don't have any more strength, where we feel tired, where we feel fatigued, where we feel like our zeal is gone and our desire to do anything for the Lord's gone, and it just doesn't seem like we're on fire as we once were. Sometimes we get weary. But I'm thankful tonight that while man gets weary, God never does get weary. God never does get weird. Go to Isaiah chapter, keep your spot here, but go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, a verse Pastor mentioned this morning in his message. God never gets weary, but sometimes man does. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28. Isaiah 40 and verse number 28. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" And amen goes right there. Praise the Lord for that. "There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And praise the Lord tonight for a God that doesn't get weary. I'm thankful tonight he doesn't get weary of saving souls. I'm thankful he doesn't get weary of all my prayer concerns and all my weakness and all the times I come to God saying, "God, please help me." I'm thankful God doesn't get weary about keeping the world in place and the universe in line and keeping everything run. I'm thankful God doesn't get weary of his mercy or his long-suffering or his grace. God does not get weary. Praise the Lord for that. But sometimes man does. And he even mentions here in verse number 30, and I wanted to say the whole group of verses here to be an encouragement, not just point out the bad part, but verse 30, it says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." Right? The youth, the one that should have strength, the ones that should have endurance, the ones that should be strong enough to keep on going. The Bible says, hey, even those are going to be weary. Even those are going to faint, and the young men shall utterly fall, because weariness happens to everybody. Weariness is something that we all struggle with, and even Paul warns us about getting weary. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, Galatians 6, 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Over in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, Paul says about let us not be weary in well-doing. Paul warns us, he says, hey, be careful about being weary. We're going to do season. We shall reap if we faint not, but be on guard against being weary. You know why? Because it's easy to become weary. And Pastor preached a whole bunch of stuff this morning, like I said, on things that can rob you of your joy and things that can cause you to be weary. But it's a struggle that we all have. Sometimes I get weary. Sometimes Pastor Sherry gets weary. Sometimes you get weary, whether it's because of just the work or the ministry or the devil or our flesh or the situation. We get weary sometimes, and weariness can be a hard thing to go through. Weariness can be a hard thing to go through. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 25, the Bible says this. It says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." You know what weariness is sometimes? It's heaviness in your heart. And yeah, we can talk about physical weariness, and sometimes we do get physically weary. Man, sometimes just, you know, being in the ministry and being in the church, and sometimes Sunday, you know, you have morning service and Sunday school, and then sometimes you take people out to eat or try to minister to somebody in some way. And sometimes, when I preach Sunday nights, and I try to put everything into it, and the study and the prayer and the delivery, and I'll be honest, sometimes after Sunday night, I go home, and I feel like I just got hit by a truck. And it takes it out of you. But you know, sometimes that weary, that's not as hard to get past, right? You just go to bed that night, hopefully you don't stay up too late, you wake up the next morning, you're ready to go. But a weariness a lot of times that is harder for me to deal with Is the inside weariness? Is the heart weariness? And the Bible says that heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. It's a burden. It drags you down. It makes you just feel like blah. And I'm sure many here will be honest to say, you felt that before. That man, you're trying to serve the Lord, you're trying to do what's right, you're trying to live for God, and something in your life is making you weary. A circumstance, something you're praying for that hasn't happened yet, the devil, your life, whatever. And you just, your heart just feels like it's stooped. You don't feel like you're really on fire for God. You don't really feel like you have much excitement about God and His Word or about coming to church or about soul winning or doing it. And you just kind of feel like, this just, I don't know. I just, not feeling it. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stooped over in Nehemiah. Once again, a verse Pastor mentioned this morning. Nehemiah 8:10. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, you know what? When you have that weariness, whenever that heaviness, you don't have much joy. And you know what? When you don't have much joy, you don't have much strength. And when we don't have strength, we can't do what God wants us to do. We don't have the joy. We don't have the fervor. We don't have the excitement. We don't have the drive to get something done for God. We just feel weak and sometimes even pathetic because of the weariness. It's a hard thing to go through sometimes, that heaviness in the heart of man that maketh it stoop. And weariness can sometimes lead to bad things. Can lead to bad things. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 13, Proverbs 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart," "by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." By sorrow of the heart, the spirit's broken. That weariness, and once again, I'll just personal reference, and what happens a lot for me, a lot of times spiritually and emotionally and that kind of stuff, I don't feel weary because of stuff that I'm doing, stuff that I'm getting done. I mean, like doing the work of the man, it can be a joy. And even if you feel kind of tired, you're excited because, God's doing stuff and you're serving the Lord. But a lot of times that weariness comes from sorrow. That weariness comes because your prayer hasn't been answered. That weariness comes from the hurt that's going on in your life. That weariness comes because, you're trying to serve God, you're trying to help people, and you're trying to be there for people, and things just don't really seem to be panning out the way that you wish they would go. And you get weary, and you get that sorrow going on. The Bible says that by sorrow of the heart, the spirit's broken. And you know what happened? Your spirit can be broken. And I've seen that happen to people in churches. In my 28 years of being, not being Christian, I'm not saved since I was saved, I'm not Catholic or anything like that. But in my years of growing up in church, I've seen that happen. I've seen people quit on God and quit on church and just kind of give up. You know why? Because their spirit's been broken. Because they've gotten weary in well-doing, because that heaviness in their heart has caused them to stoop, and they eventually get to the point where they say, it's just not worth it anymore, I just can't do it anymore, and they just throw in the towel. But I'm not just seeing people give up outwardly. I've seen people that maybe outwardly they're doing all the right things and they're even maybe serving, but they've given up on the inside. And they become cold and they become hard and they become callous and maybe they're doing even the right things. Maybe even they're kind of serving in ministry, but their spirit is broken. And there's no joy, there's no happiness, there's no fire, there's no vision, there's no excitement. It's just, I'm just doing it because this is what I'm supposed to do. Let me put in my time and then I can focus on other things. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Go over to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse number 22. Proverbs 17 verse number 22, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A broken spirit drieth the bones. When you get to that point where that weariness just becomes so much that it just breaks, it dries you out. It just sucks the life out of you. It sucks the joy. It sucks the excitement. It sucks the fire. It sucks the pleasure of serving God, of living for Him. And folks, that can happen to us if we're not careful about our weariness. If we don't wait on the Lord, like Pastor said, if we don't come to God sometimes and just, God, I need your help in this situation. Give me strength. And even then over in Proverbs 18 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" A spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Man, when you're on fire for God, when you're excited about the things of the Lord, when you've got that fervor, even if there's some hard physical, You can sustain it. Man, I'm fine with whatever, with being tired, with you know, this isn't an infirmity in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, today, just long story short, I didn't get a chance to really eat my food as much because I was sharing the gospel with those two people. So by the time I actually got to eating my food, it was pretty cold. But, you know, I don't care. I would take that a million times out of the day. If it means leading someone to Christ, I'll eat cold food all the time. Why? Because there's an excitement. There's not a, well, man, it's like, who cares? Praise the Lord, I got to lead someone to Christ. And our life, we can bear our infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Man, when that gets on the inside and that weariness and that broken spirit, man, how can you bear it? How can you live like that? And a lot of times that's why Christians throw in the towel, whether outwardly or inwardly, because they just can't bear it anymore. And the point being is, be careful, because weariness can happen to anybody. Weariness can happen to me. Weariness can happen to Pastor Sherry. Weariness can happen to each one of us sitting here tonight, and we need to be on guard about it. And we need to be careful of it. And go to the Lord and wait on the Lord and realize, praise God, He never wearies. So we can come to Him and He can give us strength. But people sometimes get weary. Some things I see in Isaiah chapter 15, verse number 4, that number one, people sometimes get weary. But number two, we should know how to help those that are weary. We should know how to help those that are weary. The Bible says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." God wants you to be a help to those that struggle with weariness. Because all of us struggle with weariness. And I don't get too far ahead of myself, but we should be there for each other when we're struggling through those times of weariness. And you know what? The first step in helping those that are weary is to care about and to have a focus on others. Is to realize there are other people that need you. Go to Philippians Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I just performed a magic trick or something because I don't know where my paper went. Anyways, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And Paul here says, hey, church, you ought to have that like-mindedness, that love that I have for you. And we know Paul cared about others. Paul focused on others. He said that you would have that same kind of love, that you would be of one accord and one mind, meaning there's a jointness together with each other. It's not just I come and do my thing and focus on myself and get my stuff done and then I run out. But it's, hey, I'm supposed to care for my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be of one mind, of one accord, of the same love. Verse number 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then he continues on about the servant Christ was for us. But what's he say? Hey, your job in being the same mind, the same love of one, is to look on the things of others. And I've said this before, that doesn't mean you're all up in everyone's business and you're a busybody and nosy and have to know everyone's dirt. The point he's saying is, have a care for others. Worry about others. Have a love for one another, that you're there for one another and can help each other and can serve each other just like Christ served you. And that's what he gets into about Christ Jesus having that same mind. And church, we need to care about and have a focus on others. We're a family. We're a body. And we need each other. And that means when you're weary, you need me. When I'm weary, I need you. And we need to help one another. In Galatians 6:2, the Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We should be there for others to help bear their burden of weariness. Because weariness is a burden at times. And weariness does get somebody down. You know what? They need someone to come along and help carry that burden. Someone to lift them up. Someone to encourage them. Shazam, it appeared. Someone to keep them going on. But if we're never looking around, if we're never focused on anybody else, if we don't love others enough to get our eyes off ourselves, we're never going to know those that need help. Those that are struggling, those that are weary, those that are stooping because of the heaviness and maybe about ready to get that broken spirit to give up and throw in the towel, and they need somebody to come along and say, hey, I'm here for you. Can I help you? I'm praying, whatever it is. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And verse number 9. The Bible says this, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Christian, two are better than one. That means, once again, that you need me and I need you. And there are people in this church that need someone to lift them up when they fall down, just like you need somebody to lift you up when you fall down. And a lot of times we do get in this singleness mindset of, well, I'm just a loner and I can handle myself and I can do my... You need somebody. And can I say, you're being foolish if you think you can just handle stuff on your own, because you get weary just like everybody else does. And yeah, people have different personalities and some people are more... You still need somebody. You're still a part of the body of Christ. And not only do you need somebody, but other people need you. And we're supposed to care. We're supposed to look out. We're supposed to help. But you know what happens a lot of times? We're focused on ourselves. We don't have the love of Christ. We don't have that mind of Christ. And then there are brothers and sisters that are going through some things. And yes, I understand they can go to God and God renews their strength. And maybe they should know better. But God gave us each other for a reason. There's a reason we have a local church. And then they fall and there's no one to lift them up. And I remember in 2 Peter 3:8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know what lions do out in the wild? They focus on the weak ones. They focus on the ones that are alone, that are weaker than the others, that are stooping, that are dragging, that don't have the strength of the herd. And Christian, we ought to look out for that. Man, praise God for our church. Praise God for a group of people in Chehalis, Washington that care about the Lord Jesus Christ and want to do something for God. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Pastor Sherry's not. We all have our faults. So we can all look around and say, well, so-and-so should be better at this, or so-and-so should be more faithful, or so-and-so should be in this. I understand. But if you notice, there's a world full of wicked people that could care less about God. A world full of people that could care less about being faithful to a church, whether it's just to one service or any or whatever. And we should care enough about them to say, hey, even if maybe we're not the closest, we don't look at everything the same way, or they don't do everything that I think they should do, or I don't do everything that they think I should do, I want to help them live for God. I don't want to see him quit. I don't want to see him give up. I don't want to see him throw in the towel. That happens day by day and week by week all across America. And maybe if we had some Christians that cared enough about others to say, hey, let me invest in somebody. Let me love in somebody. Let me watch out for somebody else to say, hey, they seem like they're a little bit weary. They seem like they've lost some joy and lost some heart. Maybe I just need to encourage them a little bit. What a difference that could make. And even for ourselves, getting over this, I got it covered and I'm fine and I don't need anybody and I'm just can handle it myself. Well, the Bible says that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And we get so full of pride thinking we can just handle it and we got it ourselves and I can just do my thing. And the devil says, yep, there's somebody that I can take care of pretty well. Because you need somebody just like everybody else needs somebody. And we ought to love and care for one another. And folks, Christians in our church should know that they're not alone. People that are weary in our church should know that somebody cares about them. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says this, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. You know, we're supposed to support the weak. And now we're all full of our pride today, and you know, I'm spiritual and I'm faithful and I got this ministry. Hey, I'm not ashamed to say sometimes I can be weak. Sometimes I can be weary. Sometimes the devil gets on me. Sometimes I allow the devil to get on me. And I need someone to support me. And you know what? Sometimes you're weak. And sometimes the devil gets on you. And sometimes the devil discourages you. And sometimes you let the devil get on you and discourage you just like me. And you know what you need? You need someone to support you. And that's what we're supposed to be here for. To help one another, to encourage one another. I understand. Praise the Lord for a good-sized church. That doesn't mean we know everybody and we can tell. But you should do your best. I should do my best to help and encourage those in our church, whether we're close or not close. It's not just like we have a little friend group and that's who we were. There are other people that come to this church than just your friend group. And how many people are we being an encouragement and a help and a support to? Folks, it's important. And we should know how to help those that are weary. And the first step in that is to have a focus and care about others. But not only that, but we should know how to use our words to encourage the weary. And talk about knowing how to encourage the weary back in Isaiah chapter 40. We should use our words. We should know how to use our words to encourage the weary. Isaiah 50. Almost. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." You know, our tongue holds a lot of power, and we should use it to help, not hurt. Your tongue can hold a lot of power to help someone who's weary. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Your tongue can be used for a lot of good, but it can also be used for a lot of evil. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that because that's not the focus tonight. It can be used as the piercings of a sword. I mean, praise the Lord, I've never been stabbed by a sword before, but I've been jabbed by, you know, a tack or a nail, and that doesn't feel very good. That's just something small, because you imagine being stabbed by somebody? The piercings of a sword? Well, that's the power of your words. It can have that effect on somebody, but you know what? The tongue of the wise is health. Someone who uses his tongue, it's health. It's a help. It's an encouragement. It's a benefit to somebody else. Once again, Proverbs 12 and verse number 25, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." That person that has that heaviness inside of them, that one that's stooping, that one that's dragging, that one that's struggling. Hey, you know what? Your words, a good word from you can make that heart glad. A good word can encourage that person to not have that heaviness and not have that drudgery. It can be a help. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 11. Proverbs 10 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." You know what a righteous man does? He uses his words to be a well of life, to help others, to encourage others, to lift up others. One more verse, Proverbs 15 and verse number 4, in case you just haven't gotten the picture yet. Proverbs 15 and verse number 4, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." A wholesome tongue, a good tongue, an encouraging tongue, a helpful tongue. It's a tree of life. It brings life. It brings fire. It brings joy to those that don't have it. That's the power of your words today. Whether you think you're somebody or not, that's not just the pastor. That's not just the one up preaching saying, well, his words are the ones that help. Your words can help somebody. Your words can be there for someone. Your words can make a difference in somebody's day. Because maybe they're stooping and maybe they have heaviness and maybe they're having a hard time. And maybe just a text or just a kind word or just could make a complete world of difference. I know because I've been there. Your words could greatly help someone who is weary. And you should learn how to use them in that way. You should understand the power that your tongue has and use it for the glory of God. And use it to love and care for the brothers and sisters that God has given you in Faith Baptist Church, or maybe in a different church, or just brothers and sisters that you know. Because people get weary sometimes. People struggle sometimes. People hurt sometimes. People are depressed sometimes. And we should be there for them. And maybe that is just sending a text. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I'm praying for you today. Maybe that is seeing somebody say, hey, man, I just want to encourage you. What a blessing you are. Man, just your faithfulness, or just maybe you do this ministry, or maybe I appreciate you. Hey, it's pastor after minute. Hey, pastor, I appreciate that message. That was a blessing. That was a help. That was. Maybe it's taking time to spend some time with somebody, or taking somebody out from you, or just being there. I don't know. Let the Lord guide and direct you in what you need to do. But you can make a difference in someone else's life. And we need to understand that this evening. And it could be a big difference. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. When you've been discouraged and you've been down and someone comes along and reaches, and how much of a help that is. But you know what? We need to learn, some of us, to do that. Because maybe that's not natural for us. Maybe that's not what we're used to doing. Maybe that's not naturally what we're inclined. Maybe we're not the most complimentary person, or the whatever person that's going to say how great somebody... Whatever it is, maybe we need to learn how to do it. He said, give me the tongue of the learned. But you know what? To do that, that takes love, that takes effort, and sometimes that takes humility. To learn to use your tongue to be a blessing and a help and encourage, that means you're focused on other people. That means you care about others. That means when you come to church, it's not just, here's my thing, and I'm focused on this, and what can I do, and what am I friend? But man, what's going on in everybody else's life? How's so-and-so doing today? Hey, I'm going to talk to some people and ask them how their life's going. I'm going to listen up during prayer request time, or look at the prayer email. What? And I'm going to love somebody, putting them before myself. It takes love. It takes effort. And sometimes not even a whole lot of effort. I can pick my phone up and in 30 seconds send a text to somebody that says, hey, I'm praying for you today. But maybe the effort comes in actually praying for them. Don't be texting people that you're praying for them if you're not actually praying for them. That takes effort. It takes effort to go out of your way to find pastor after message and say, hey, pastor, that message really meant something to me. Or, hey, pastor, I appreciate what you're doing here at the church. And I got your back, and I love you, and I'm here for you. It takes effort to find somebody in the church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Thursday night that you normally don't talk to say, hey, how you doing today? Hey, I got this prayer request out in the email, or the other Thursday night, someone, how are things going in this situation in your life? It takes effort, and that's a lot of times why we don't do it. Because we're not used to it. Because it's different for us. And sometimes it takes humility. The humility of getting over ourselves of, well, that's just not who I am. Okay. Show me a verse where the Bible says, because that's not how you are, that verses like these don't apply to you. Right? I mean, you can do it. Go ahead. But we use that. And not just, whatever. Well, that's just, I mean, that's for other people. And I understand God gives different people different gifts. But Paul didn't say in Philippians chapter 1, well, for those of you that are more inclined to be an encouragement, look, every man, those people. That's to all of us. He said, have the mind of Christ. And sometimes we have to get over our stinking pride of just, yeah, I don't normally do it, but maybe I should because it's what God wants me to do. Maybe it's our pride of, well, it's kind of awkward. Not really, but okay. Maybe it is awkward for you to text somebody, especially if you're not used to doing it. And so I'm like, who in the world is this person? Why are they texting me? Or why did so-and-so? They never talked to me. And they came up and said that they appreciate, like, maybe you have to get over your pride in that. And do it for the Lord's glory, not yours. Amen. The pride of, what is it going to think? Or is it awkward? Or maybe. But it's really not that bad. As someone who knows a lot about awkwardness, okay? You get past those things. But we need to learn to encourage one another. to look out for the weary. Because is someone quitting on God or someone giving up on the inside worth my pride? Is it worth me not putting any effort into it? Is it worth me not loving and caring for others? Folks, it's important. And some things I see in Isaiah 50, verse number 4. Number one, that people sometimes get weary. Number two, that we should know how to help those that are weary. But lastly, number three, that the Lord helps us to be an encouragement to those that are weary. That the Lord helps us be an encouragement to those that are weary. In Isaiah 50, and verse number 4, the Bible says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Isaiah said, hey, God's given me this tongue. It wasn't just that I had to figure it out on my own or I had to try hard to do better. God gave me this. And can I tell you, God will give you what you need to be an encouragement to others. God will give it to you. God will help you with it. God will show you what someone needs. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, the Bible says, "But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." God gave you a Holy Spirit. And so you know what? If you have a heart that's willing and you have a focus on others, you'll be amazed how God will lead you. If we get over our pride and over our laziness and over our selfishness, and I really start to say, okay, God, help me to care for others, you'll be amazed the things that will come to your mind. And God will tell you, hey, send this person a text today. Hey, go find this person at church today. Hey, go do this thing for this person that you know why? Because God cares for that person. And God's going to help you do what you need to do. That's the great thing, even if you're not used to this. Well, God can help you. God can help me, and I'm thankful for that. Because a lot of times when I think something needs done, it's like, nope. So I'm thankful I can rely on the Lord to lead me and guide me to what I need to do. And he'll be faithful to do it. But you have to have a willing and a focused heart. You have to be open to it. And ask God to help you do it. But he'll guide you and direct you. God will show you what someone needs. But God will show you when someone needs it. Once again, in Isaiah 50, and verse number 4, the Bible says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that needs it, to him that is weary." God knows what's going on in someone else's life. And God can guide and direct you to be that encouragement to them when they need you to be an encouragement. We don't necessarily just have to guess and be like, well, I'm just going to throw out. I mean, there's nothing wrong with telling a bunch of people you're praying for, but that's just randomly. Like, God will lead you and guide you and direct you because timing is very important. It really is. Go to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, Proverbs 25 and verse number 11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." That's an important lesson for you to learn. Sometimes we need to make sure what we're saying is said in the times that it needs to be said. But you know what? A word of encouragement to someone who's weary or someone who's ready to give up or someone who's ready to quit or someone who's just really depressed, it can be of the utmost value to them. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver, something that's very valuable. Hey, in the right timing, that's what your words can be. Go to Proverbs 15, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 23. Proverbs 15 and verse number 23, the Bible says this, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" In that time when it's needed. And so timing is important, and God will guide you to that, because you know what? Some people may need quantity, but others just might need quality. And sometimes God may tell you to do that, right? Every day you need to text this person, let them know that you're praying for them. Right, every time you see this person for the next month, you need to make sure you encourage them, and so, because that might be what that person needs. Some people do need more of the encouragement, right? Because that's how God made them. But sometimes people just need the quality. I don't mean like the other stuff isn't quality. I mean, they don't need necessarily you texting them every day to say you're praying for them. They don't need every time you see them to say, that was a great message, or man, you're doing a great, they don't, but they need it in the time when they're weak. They need it in the time when they are weary. And it means a whole lot more than just hearing it all the time, because sometimes, I mean, that's the case. When you hear stuff all the time, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, I understand it. But then when someone that maybe normally does it and they compliment you or something, you're like, wow, they must actually do that, or must actually mean that, because they don't. Sometimes it's just in that God's perfect timing. And you know what? God will guide you to that. If you're close to the Lord and sensitive to his leading, he will guide you on when to encourage others. But the key is you've got to be close to the Lord. And you've got to be sensitive to his leading. Man, sometimes I'll be praying and God will put someone on my heart. And I'm like, okay, I should pray for this person. I pray for this person. And when I'm done praying for them, God says, now go text them and tell them that you're praying for them. Well, if I was never praying in the first place, if I was never, God would never have guided me to do that. Sometimes I'll be reading my Bible and God will show a verse to me and it'll be encouraged. But then God will say, hey, what about so-and-so? Maybe this verse would be an encouragement to them. I'm like, okay, so I sent them that verse. If I was never reading the Bible or spent it, God wouldn't be able to do that. Sometimes, whatever, God just puts someone on your heart. Because he does the work. Because he's faithful to guide you. He doesn't just say, hey, here you go, have fun. You know, it's all on you now. I'll give you what you need. But you have to be close to him. But for a lot, they're not close enough to God or sensitive enough to his leading to know when to do that. They're too focused on themselves and what's going on in their life and me and all, that God really doesn't have a chance to do anything. But folks, the Lord helps us to be an encouragement to those that are weary. And the reality is tonight is people get weary. People in Faith Baptist Church get weary. I get weary. Pastor gets weary. You get weary. What are we doing about it? I think we should know how to encourage those that are weary. I think we should know how to lift one another up in prayer and have enough love and have enough charity and have enough compassion for one another and a focus on one another. And not just because we have to, not just because Pastor Aaron preached a message on this, so now I have to, but because we actually care about each other. Because once again, we realize, man, this world's a hard world to live to, and how many people don't live for God? So these ones that God has given to us in our church, I want to help them live for God. And what are we doing about it? But remembering God's the one that helps us do those things. And if we're close to the Lord and we're focused on it and have the right heart, God will direct us and God will help us and God will guide and direct us. It's an important church, and I think it's needed in churches all across America. I need it more in my life to be an encouragement, to look at others, to focus on others, to be, because a word can make a world of difference. If we could have a piano player come, let's go to one last place and we'll be done. Go to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Back where we started. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 4. Once again, the Bible says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And then verse number 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Can I tell you tonight that hopefully maybe God opened your ear, right? Maybe you haven't been as focused. Maybe you haven't been as worried about others. Maybe you haven't been as much of an encouragement or help with your words that you should. Well, guess what? Tonight, God opened your ear to it. And God said, hey, Pastor Aaron's going to preach a message on being an encouragement to those that are weary. And now you know about it. And can I encourage you, don't be rebellious or turn away from God's call to help the weary. Please, please, please tonight, don't let your pride get in the way of being a help. I'm just saying, well, that's just not what I do. Or I'm not any good at that. or somebody else can take care of people. The pastor can, other people can, those in that row can. What does God want you to do tonight? Don't be rebellious to it. But also, don't turn away from it. Meaning, maybe tonight you need to spend some time with God and say, God, I need your help to be an encouragement to the weary. Because you know what? Naturally, we hear the message, maybe we think about it, maybe God says, and we go out the doors, and then, and all right, we kind of just turn away from it. And by next Sunday, it's not crossed our mind, it's not meant anything to us, it hasn't made a difference, we haven't encouraged. And I'm not saying tonight you have to go out next week, you better text 8 people and, you know, talk to 5 people and take out 3 people to eat. All I'm saying is be sensitive to the Lord and care about others. But maybe you need to get serious about it tonight, maybe come to an altar in here or whatever, or just deal with God here and say, God, help me to do this. God, you opened my ear. You helped me realize tonight that this is a big deal, that people are weary just like I've been weary. And God, help me to have people in my life that can help me when I'm down and depressed, but help me be a help to somebody else. And the Lord wants to help you to do that. The Lord gives the tongue, but ye have not because ye ask not. And maybe tonight, if we actually were serious about it and listened to the leading of the Lord and actually came and said, God, help me, it'd be amazing maybe what God would do in our lives then. Maybe we wouldn't just go out this week and forget what was preached by Wednesday. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But I know my flesh. Forget about you. I know my flesh. And I know there are things that I have to come to God daily and say, God, help me with this because I'm not any good at it. And maybe you have to humble yourself tonight, and maybe that's what you've got to do. And maybe you need to come and say, God, help me be an encouragement to the weary. Help me get my eyes off myself. Help me get over my laziness. Help me get over my pride. And help me focus on others. God, put someone in my path this week, next week. Maybe not even put someone, but Lord, open my eyes that, God, I would see those that are in need. Help me not to be so blinded by myself that, God, when someone does need help, I can be there for them. And you'll be amazed what God will do. And the doors God will open and the ways God will lead you, because he wants to help you with it. But it's an individual choice. It's not something God forces on any of us, and it's not something that I force on anyone. You have to decide for yourself to do that. So as the piano plays, if the Lord has dealt with you tonight, the altar's open, heads bowed, eyes closed, do some business with the Lord. If God's spoken to you tonight, helping the weary. Helping the weary.